Father God, I struggle. I struggle to be before my brothers and sisters because I know that these are not just words that we preach, but these are words that we have to practice, and that is not always easy. So I pray that our hearts would be open, that we wouldn't become hardened, but that we would want to wholly follow our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he gave everything in order that we might be free. No condemnation. Not for me, not from you. Let us live through the Holy Spirit at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 43-46. In my church, I would say, turn to page da-da-da-da-da, because people would follow along in their Bibles. And I encourage that, because the Bibles are in your hands, they're the real thing. This screen comes and goes, but the Word of God lives forever. So, I can't tell you what page it is, but Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, and this is taken from chapter 5, verses 43-48. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, again, Stan is different than I am. He has 3 points in his sermon. I'm only going to have 2. But that doesn't mean you're getting out early. It means I have 5 sub-points under the 2. The title for the sermon is More Than Random Acts of Kindness. You already gave the definition of random. You probably know many stories of random through books. You see on schools and community places, do acts of kindness. And I think this is a wonderful thing. I am so impressed. I love when I get an anonymous gift from a coworker. How thoughtful. Stan will love when he gets an unexpected call for you. So he sits down. How about this for a totally unexpected surprise? An artist tells her story. I forgot about the rules of liquids on carry-on luggage. So when I hit the security at the airport, I had to give up all my painting supplies. When I returned a week later, an attendant was at the baggage area with my paints. Not only had he kept them for me, but he had looked at my return date and time in order to meet me. A wonderful random act of kindness. Winston Churchill famously said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. That's pretty powerful. I'm going to read it again just because I like it. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. I had a random act of kindness that did not make me happy. Stan and I were the ultimate tourists in Prague. Our daughter showed us every tourist spot, and even though I liked all the castles and the Gothic architecture, my feet were tired. We had to go up and down these steep stairs and escalators, and one day I was carrying my luggage, and this young man said, may I carry your bag for you? A nice random act of kindness. Did it make me feel good? No, It made me feel like I'm that old lady that needs to be helped. He waited for me at the top of the stairs while I stumbled up, and I thought, man, I am old. Now, I can never say this in this congregation, because you all will say, oh, but honey, you're not old, you're only 60-something, and I'm 70 and 80. Well, I'm going to tell you, I could have a conversation with you, any one of you, and say, everything that's going on from my head to my toes, it's not that good anymore. I'm not so young. And I can also tell you how many times I go through the house, want something, go to that room, forget what I wanted, come back, realize, oh, that's what I needed, go back to that room, get doing something else, come back to this room, and still forget what I wanted.
Yeah,
I'm old.
It gets worse.
Say again?
Bad news is it gets worse.
I'll challenge on that. I'm very much. Okay. So my first, oh, another act of kindness that I think is fabulous is that Santa, not Jesus, but Santa put $100 bills in the Salvation Army buckets. That is wonderful. And he is blessing a lot of people. I do not fault that. I applaud that. I'm excited about that. But here's the big but. Jesus is not saying, love those people. Jesus here is saying, love your enemies. Now, just for those who read the Bible through and then skip the book of Leviticus, there's a little note here that says, love your enemies, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. That is from the book of Leviticus. Jesus is quoting the Bible. That is something we should be doing, is understanding the word, the scriptures. Now, if I were to take this down, would you know where this was? No. Come on. But who, point one, who are our enemies? We are not on streets having gang violence. Hopefully, we as Christians are not making a lot of enemies by what we do. But I'll tell you, I have some major enemies with the mosquitoes right now, and the black, brown, whatever you call them, round-tailed fly. Round-tailed
moth.
Yes,
yes.
Round-tailed moths. It's nasty. But are they our enemies? I could have a whole discussion on that, but we won't go there. So who are our enemies? Is there anybody who really hates you? Maybe there actually are some family members who aren't really good relations with us, or we with them. I bet I could say, has anybody hurt you? Has anybody felt like you have been injured in your heart, in your soul, and you don't want to forgive them? I think all of us, most of us, me, could say that. I'm hurt. I don't like this person. That could be our enemy. What's easy in this verse is Jesus says, love your enemies. Well, we know how to love. We know how to do acts of kindness. Why can't we do that to our enemies? Ooh, that's a challenge. Colleen, this isn't a feel-good sermon. No, it's not. When Jesus asks for to follow him and love our enemies, that's hard. Oh, but he says, pray for your enemies. We can do that. That's not a problem. Put them on prayer list. You don't like them. They don't like us. We can put them on prayer list. We want God to change those people. But what happens when God says, I want to change you? Ugh. We don't like that very much. And we don't really do that very well. So, second point is, how do we love our enemies? I'm very, very challenged by these verses. In 46 and 47, it says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Wow. I see a lot of non-Christians doing a lot of good, a lot of acts of kindness. What are we doing? We're still not liking those people who like us. We're still at odds with people that we have trouble with. Before wanting to follow Jesus, we need to be different. We need to be more than doing acts of kindness. We need to be loving our enemies. So how do we do that? Well, it's really funny. I don't read the paper every week. On the top, this headliner of the Lincoln County News says, if you want to make peace, you don't talk to your friends. You talk to your enemies. Really? They're on the same page as the Bible there. I would go a little further. I would say, don't just talk at your enemies. I would say, listen to your enemies. Oh, the Colleen, they yakking, yakking, yakking. I disagree about everything they say. Well, it's a loving thing to listen. And then have your turn to talk. But to listen, why is it that they're feeling this way, doing these things? Maybe there's pain in their lives. Maybe that's how they learned to act with other people. I had a man in my congregation when I was a pastor for 10 years who I did not like. I couldn't practice what I preached. I did not like him. Whenever he came to a business meeting, he just caused trouble. He got us all riled up and all mad at each other, and it was terrible. But one day in Sunday school, I asked him, why, John, his name wasn't John, why are you acting this way? Where does this come from? He said, this is the way my father did it to me. There's a hint there. There's a pattern there. Sometimes it was done to that person, and that's why they're doing it to us. Think about it. Maybe it's not just attacking us. Maybe it's just them. And then we need to find ways to process that. Love the enemies. Don't just cast them aside. I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear on the news quite often, maybe not every week, but some person was a good Samaritan and jumped in to a fire and saved a family. This person was a good Samaritan and in the drowning floods saved somebody else. When the helicopter dives, they pulled out people who were in the floods. Thank the Lord. I am grateful for those acts of love and sacrifice. But the parable of the Good Samaritan isn't just about being good. The whole parable Jesus told about the Samaritan was that he was an enemy of the Jewish people. They did not like each other. And so, love your enemy? Yes. That Good Samaritan isn't all that there is. That Good Samaritan is that we're supposed to love our enemy. We do an act of heroism for somebody we didn't like? Something to think about. Something to try and see. Jesus, how do you want us to do this? So, here are the sub-points from the Good Samaritan. He gave time. The Samaritan went out of his way to take this wounded man to an inn. I don't know how far that inn was, but I know that they walked great distances. And to carry this man, or to put him on his donkey, or whatever he had, costs a little bit. Giving time is something that we can give those enemies or people we don't like. Time to listen, time for them to feel our love. You can give money. This Good Samaritan said, take, as an innkeeper, take this man, help him, and I will cover his expenses when I get back. Can I have your credit card? Let me have you cover my expenses? Well, I don't have any, but that's how hard this word is. Can we start by giving compliments to our enemies? Colleen, this is so hard. It is. Sometimes I have to practice this often. Go up to people that don't like me and say something nice. Talk to somebody who has said bad things to us and compliment them. But this is what Jesus is saying. Not me. Love your enemies. Hard work. I can preach this today with ease, but I can't practice it without God. I can't practice this without the Holy Spirit. Jesus says and gives the role model. It was hilarious for me to read the verse that Stan picked out for confession. Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. I was in my sermon. I didn't even talk to him. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Sometimes our enemies don't realize what they're doing. So we do these things, loving our enemies, only empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Sometimes I think about it, but not very often. Usually it's Colleen doing Colleen things. How often we say, wow, the Holy Spirit in me is changing me, is doing something in me, therefore it is not me who lives, but Christ in me. That's hard. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to do more in your life? When I was young, and I was young, young, I read a book by Catherine Marshall. You might remember her. And she said, she said that having the Holy Spirit in our life was like you being in an office, and you are in that office, and the Holy Spirit is knocking on your door. Can I come in? And you're saying, no, I'm busy. When you invite Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in. Because you've invited Jesus in. But whether you give the Holy Spirit reign in your life, the ability to live through you, that's another story. You can have that person enter your office, but you may not recognize them. You're busy writing something. You're thinking about other things while they're talking. But to be present is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. Ask the Holy Spirit, should I do this? Should I say this? How can I possibly do this with the Holy Spirit? As Sam talked about in one of his sermons, the Baptists don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. And that's true. And Baptists don't often talk about the Holy Spirit did this. I rarely hear that. I even rarely hear that God did this. A miracle happens. Oh, yay, it's a miracle. Do we say, yeah, God did it? Not always. It's a miracle of creation. Look at that beautiful purple iris. Look at those beautiful purpose lupin. Look at those beautiful purpose clove flowers. Do I give God credit for writing purple? I tell my coworkers, I love purple. All my kids know, I love purple. But do I give God credit any? In public school, I can't. How can we? How can we do this? Christians are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be annoying. We're not supposed to, what's the word, proselytize. We're not supposed to do this and this and this, but there are ways verbally that we might be able to do this. And I think the Holy Spirit is reminding me that if we don't give God credit, then we're being just like the pagans, just like the non-believers. We're doing acts of kindness. We're doing random things of goodness. But Christians are called to do more than that. And Jesus did more than that. If for no other reason we give God the glory, it's because Jesus did that for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. We were the enemies. And Christ did that for us. A humbling thought. Man, I sin every day. You might not want to hear this, but Stan sins every day. We all sin every day. But we would, by following Christ, by following His Word, be more like Him who forgave His enemies, who loved His enemies, who was good and did random acts to people He didn't like. All right, I'm finishing. On October 5th, 2006, Charles Roberts IV entered an Amish schoolhouse in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I know you know this story. He tied up 10 little girls, killing 5 and injuring others. What I didn't know, and listen to this, 10 years later, one of the girls was 16, sitting immobile in her wheelchair, unable to speak or feed herself. The Amish, of course, forgave this murderer. But it said in this family, it said in this article, they didn't do it, and oh my gosh, it's gone. Oh, we forgive you, murderer. No, forgiven, forgotten, let it go. They said it was decisional forgiveness. These Christians, and yes, Amish are, they're considered Protestant Christians who read the scripture, believe in adult baptism, just like we do, are pacifists, and show the importance of the community of faith. These Amish people not only forgave, but they put their life behind it and befriended the murderer's family. That is amazing. It blows my mind. Could we even come close to that? No. Except that the Holy Spirit does it through us. Except that we know Jesus did it for us. Except that we think of every time the news goes off and it says, this good Samaritan did this. If every time we heard that we thought, that Samaritan was an enemy, we would be different Christians. It is not easy, but we are supposed to be living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that we do. Loving enemies. Ugh, it's hard. I don't want to do it, Jesus. I don't want to. Stan said, and I can quote, that a person who is not forgiving, who holds a grudge, who maintains that bitterness, it's far more work than somebody who forgives and lets go. And I know that people say that. I feel free when I can let that person be that person. And I know that I'm doing the right thing. It would be very freeing for us to say, this week, I love someone who I didn't like. I did more than an act of kindness. Amen.